You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and he says what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and today I welcome two special guests to OWW Radio. First, Matt Yaden, the founder of NRW Sports Entertainment in Denver, Colorado, joins me to discuss the challenges of running an independent promotion. Then I'm joined by my good friend, Matthew Robles, a.k.a. the MK Bandit, the commissioner of UCW Zero. We'll cover a lot of hot topics in wrestling right now. But first, Matt Yaden, welcome to OWW Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
How's your summer been going?
It's been going great. A lot of things happening. Keeping things moving out here in Colorado, and things continue to grow. It's been an exciting summer thus far. We're only halfway there.
You are the founder of NRW Sports Entertainment in Denver. Tell me about the company.
Well, I founded NRW Sports Entertainment in June of 2010. I wanted something better. I wanted to improve the status of the indies out here. I wanted to give fans a better option for attending live wrestling events. So I have a strong focus on the aesthetics, the athleticism, the true things that make professional wrestling great, and that's what we really hammer at NRW Sports Entertainment, and for the last 4 years, I think we've done a pretty good job setting that standard. We set the bar higher than anybody on all aspects of the game, and we continue to do so to this day.
Well, congratulations. You are approaching your fourth year of operation. That's impressive. You wrote to me before the interview that your company prides itself in providing the most professional product available in the Rocky Mountains. How do you accomplish that?
We just have a strong focus on taking this business seriously, and I think on the independents, unfortunately, the vast majority don't. It's something that you've got to take extra time. You've got to focus on extra promotion. You've really got to focus on how your roster is put together. You've got to focus on using nothing but the best talent, getting them to train, getting them into the gym. A lot of independent workers don't believe that part of the thing, working out on your own and building your body up and making yourself the best athlete possible is key. And that's probably the biggest key. And we really focus on getting our guys to consistently improve themselves, not just character-wise, but physically. And part of what we do, and I really, really hammer that home with everybody on the roster. And we're the only place that really has people that have done something in the business past this level. There's people that have had various roles in other companies, have traveled around, have tried to get out there and do a little bit more. And it's very rare, especially out here in Colorado, to have as many people as we do in the organization that have experience in the business outside of Colorado, like true experience. So I think that allows us to put ourselves up where we want to be, and we're never satisfied. I think that's probably the biggest thing. Is no matter where we get in NRW, we want to get higher. We want to keep improving because you've always got room to improve and you're always learning. So it allows us to keep that standard set.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to ask you, what is the scene like in Colorado on the independent level?
It's not a very big scene. It's not like it's when I was out in Nashville, Tennessee, Kentucky, that area, a lot more wrestling going on. There were many more groups, guys were able to wrestle 4 or 5 nights a week in different areas. Out here, that's not the case. There's only not even a handful of organizations throughout the state that operate on a consistent basis. We operate more consistently than anybody. We run every 2 weeks, and we tape 2 episodes for our ITV. So we run quite a bit. There's a couple other groups here in Denver that they run monthly, and that's really about it right now. There used to be something in the spring. They're not currently running. There was something up north in Fort Collins for a little bit, not currently running. So it's really a small scene. If you want to get a lot of work in Colorado, it's difficult to do, and that's why I'm excited about the way things are structured now with us is we are able to provide guys an opportunity to work more often, more than just once a month, because for a while there, that was really your option, was once, maybe twice a month. So it's a pretty small scene, if you even want to call it that.
Well, as we mentioned, you are approaching your fourth year of operation. NRW Sports Entertainment, is it just wrestling-focused?
The focus of the organization is the whole gamut of what sports entertainment is supposed to be. And one of the biggest things that I wanted on top of that was to give back to the communities in which we operate. That's a big deal to me. So we don't just focus on the actual entertainment, the performance, and the wrestling itself. We focus on, you know, trying to work with charitable organizations around the state and kind of link up and do some good, too. There, nothing is better to us than when we're able to go out, we're able to perform, we put on a good show, everybody loves us, but at the end of the day, someone benefits more than just being entertained. So a huge focus is giving back to the communities that we operate in, and we've been able to do that pretty consistently over 4 years.
Yeah, the information you provided me before the interview, it sounds like you have a very strong focus on the charitable work, the benefiting the Children's Hospital, Children's Miracle Network. You've raised money for Dakota Ridge and Chatfield High Schools, Craig Hospital, the Rocky Mountain Deaf School, and other organizations as well. I mean, Matt, that's very impressive, and I know that the community really appreciates that.
Well, I appreciate that. I think they do. Again, everybody feels good about it. Every roster member, every production person, everybody on the show can be proud knowing that they're making a difference. We're not just going out there entertaining. We're giving back to the community, and that takes everybody in the organization to do that. So we're very proud of that, and it's nice when people take notice.
Turning our focus back to the wrestling itself, what aspects of the business specifically are you involved in? Are you the promoter, or are you the booker?
So it's kind of a weird road we've taken to this point. So I founded it, like I said, in 2010. I actually sold it to someone else in September of 2012. I was able to secured an internship at TNA Wrestling for the summer to finish my degree, which turned into a job in talent relations and production travel services. So I had to move to Nashville. So I sold it. That was a temporary sale in, I think it was March of 2013. I was still in Nashville, and we'd worked with some of the guys. We reacquired NRW, started running the shows from there. We were actually working at Bobby Lashley's gym out in Aurora, Colorado, and we ran shows out of there, and then it's kind of turned into what it is now. I sold the company again to somebody. When I left TNA, I came back to Colorado in September, and I sold it to a gentleman that had been working for us, Mike Bond. But I stayed on as his VP of wrestling operations. So I still basically book the shows and kind of take the creative direction and all of anything wrestling related, I spearhead. And then promoting wise, I still help promote. I pretty much still do all the same things that I did as the owner, when helping him with the day-to-day operations. But I basically steer the ship in the direction as far as anything wrestling related goes. And then I focus on the wrestling academy that I started in January so I can train the roster members, keep them ready to go, and then bring in new talent, new people that are looking to get into the business itself and keep the roster stocked with new faces.
Yeah, the training facility, the Mercury Pro Wrestling Academy, as you mentioned, you started that in January. So you are actually one of the trainers there.
Yes, I am. I'm the head trainer there. And I'm the owner and the head trainer, and we train out of Extreme Gym 24/7 in Sheridan, Colorado, and got a good relationship with them, and it's really growing. You know, four more people join this week, and those are the future, not just of NRW, but hopefully the future elsewhere, too. The goal for this academy isn't just local. It's not just to get you in and then you wrestle in Colorado forever. It's to get you in, arm you with the tools to then go impress somewhere else, and then hopefully continue to move on and make your mark in the pro wrestling business. So it's exciting times there for the school, for sure.
I'm glad we're able to have you on the program here today because you have a big show this weekend coming up, Sunday, July 13th. Let's see, NRW presents Milestone 4, which is your big anniversary show. Tell me about Milestone 4.
Milestone 4 is shaping up to be the biggest event we've had in the history of NRW. We have our longest reigning champion ever, Danger Dean. I think by Sunday it'll be 463 days he's held the title. So he's defending against his former tag partner, Duff Doyle, who's been chasing that title for a couple years now. So it's really a big deal moving towards that. We're welcoming in Chavo Guerrero, Christopher Daniels, Kazarian, and Crimson. They will be here. They will be competing on the show. And it, again, benefits Children's Hospital. So it's a huge event. Last year, Milestone 3, we had Rob Terry, Al Snow, ODB, Nikita LaFleur, and Bobby Lashley on the show. And that was our biggest show up to that point. So it was a huge, raucous crowd. They enjoyed themselves. And every year we look to double what we did the year before. So if we can we make it bigger than we did last year, it's going to be amazing. We're in a great venue at 11th and Broadway, close to downtown Denver. I really am excited about this one. Myself and my tag partner, Hoodlum, we're battling Taz and Daniels. So that's going to be fun for us. That's the new challenge for me. It's going to be a great time. And again, you know, biggest show to date. Always exciting when you're running up on one of those.
Absolutely. It's a great lineup. And, you know, it's funny, we skipped right over the question that you yourself are a wrestler. What is your background in wrestling? How long have you been an active professional wrestler?
So 2001 is when I started, when I got trained, and I had my first professional match. And I always kind of, it's murky for me. I have a different opinion on what being in the business is. And I got asked while I was working at TNA out in Nashville, someone said, how long have you been in the business? And I think at that point I'd been there about 6 months, and I told him, just 6 months, because I'm a salaried employee in pro wrestling now. So that, to me, was, I could say I was in the business, you know. But I started wrestling, I started on the indies in 2001 in Ohio for NRW in Ohio. That's where the name NRW came from. It was No Rules Wrestling in Ohio. It was the first organization I worked for. Great group of guys. I moved to Colorado in 03, wrestled on the indies out here. Kind of got, I was trained by Jay Kilgore out in Ohio, got further training by Jeff Michalis out here in Denver, who is the reason that any good pro wrestling exists in this state. Mm-hmm. He trained us, worked for Fusion Pro for a while, and then decided to bring back NRW myself and take it in the direction I felt it should go in 2010, and there we are. So what's that, 13 years or so I've been cracking at this and have had a great time doing it.
I know there's a lot of challenges, of course, in being a professional wrestler. Matt, can you talk about some of the challenges, though, in running an independent promotion?
Promotion, I think, is the biggest challenge. Getting the word out, getting people to know you exist, and getting a group of egos, which is, you know, what it is. It's a group of a lot of different egos together to push for a common goal, to put in the work that needs to be put in. The glory, the 5 to 10 minutes that you get is such a small part of it, but that's what we all push for. It's the hours and hours and weeks and months of the grind and the pushing of the promotion and getting out there and getting flyers out and spending the money on TV commercials and getting in front of businesses to try to get sponsorships and all of these things to sell pro wrestling successfully. You have to sell it to people that don't watch it, I think. That's the biggest difficulty. I think a lot of indie promotions, you just put it out there and you know that the hardcore fans are going to show up. But if you truly want to draw big numbers, there's not a whole bunch of hardcore fans. You know, the majority of fans are going to fill up your seats are either casual fans or people that just want something different to go do. You got to get them in the door, and then you hook them, and then they continue to come month after month, week after week, depending on how often you run. That's the challenge, is finding those people that don't know that they will be wrestling fans, getting them to give you an opportunity, getting them in the door, and then keeping them there. And that's the biggest challenge that I found when you approach a business about a sponsorship or letting you run at their venue or whatever the case may be, and they've never dealt with pro wrestling before. So then it's up to you to sell them all the positives and the grit, the good side of pro wrestling, the fun side of it. Once you do it, it's great, but it's difficult to get kind of that foot through the door with a lot of these people that don't normally watch wrestling on Monday nights or Thursday nights or Friday nights.
Right. Well said. And for yourself, how often do you watch other companies and watch their product and try to learn about what they're doing?
independent-wise or WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, that type?
Oh, it could be anything. I mean, I think I would imagine in your position you want to keep your finger on the pulse of the entire industry. Is that fair?
Yes, that's fair. I pay attention to what's going on all around me. You know, you check in. A lot of the guys that work for me and train at the school, they watch as well. You watch it for a learning experience more now than anything. Whereas if you're a fan, you watch it just to purely be entertained from that perspective. I check in and watch to see what's being done from a business element of it. And that, to me, is what allows me to take what I see and make it our own. Because you can't copy what you see, and that's, I think, another mistake that's made a lot. But you take the positive elements. You take the elements that have been tried and true throughout the history of pro wrestling, that if you go all the way back, you'll see the same themes on what you're trying to sell, and you find your own way to sell it. And that's what I do. Independent-wise, I don't pay a whole lot of attention. Actually, I pay zero attention to any of the other independents out here in Colorado, at least. I couldn't tell you who's doing what. I think I've been to two other shows in the last, well, since September, since I came out here. Because they're doing something different. They do their thing. They've got what they want to do. Good on them for doing it. And then I really focus on what, in this state, what we are doing, because that's what's going to allow us to separate, I believe. As far as on TV, yeah, I got to keep up with the current trends, see what's going on. And I was blessed to work, you know, for TNA for a year, so I take what I learned from minds like Al Snow, who was my boss there, and take that and morph it and internalize it and then bring it back out in NRW the way I think it should be brought out. You always got to pay attention to the industry, or otherwise you're gonna get left behind.
Now, you're out there in the Denver area. I am a board member of the Cauliflower Alley Club. We have our reunion out in Las Vegas. In fact, this past year, Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels were in Las Vegas for the reunion. Kazarian himself, a CAC Future Legend Award winner. Have you ever gone to the CAC reunions? Are you aware of the Cauliflower Alley Club?
I'm aware of them. I've never actually gone. Jeff McCallis, who trained all of us out here in Denver, did it during the Altitude Pro Wrestling Academy days, which was his school, and the Fusion Pro Wrestling, which was his promotion. I think they went out every year there for a few years. I never did get out there with them. I still have yet to experience it. I would love to experience it. A couple of our fans were there. I got some pictures from Bob with Kaz and Daniels while they were there, and he was having a great time. So it is not something I have done, but it's something I definitely need to do.
Yeah, I think you'd really like it. Really, it's a good week out there, especially because you're not too far away. Although I'm from the East Coast, everything seems close together when you're on the East Coast. I guess Denver to Las Vegas is further than I think, huh?
Well, it's like the settlers, as they moved further west when they were settling this country, they just got lazier and lazier, and the states got bigger and bigger, and the cities got further and further away. Because if you go east, all the states are smaller, and there's more people in them. And then as you get further out here, the states get a lot bigger and there's less people, which is why I love it out here. It's a different perspective, that's for sure, East Coast to West Coast.
Hey, how do you use social media for NRW to promote your product?
The basics. You got to keep posting. You got to keep things up. You got to keep things current, but you can't rely on it. I think another mistake is relying on social media. It's got to be one of the tools in your arsenal to promote. We're blessed this day and age to have it, whereas, in 2000, it was you better hit the streets and just flyer everything to reach the same amount of people. I advertise on there. You'll get the paid ad. You can't just rely on posting to the people that already know you exist, because chances are they're already interested and they're coming anyway. So we'll use the Facebook ads. I link up with, Extreme Gym, where my school is. We kind of share stuff together so we can reach some different people. But it's keeping your content fresh. Like, I'm always posting pictures, posting video, posting something on a daily basis almost to keep people engaged so new eyes can see it. If you go stagnant and you sit around, you're not tweeting, you're not putting stuff up on Facebook or whatever social media outlet you have, then you're going to lose traction. So we really do hit it hard. We're very proud of our production guy. We've got an amazing guy that does all our videos. And we keep the YouTube videos pushed onto the Facebook quite often. So we really hammer the social media hard.
Very good. Well, NRW presents Milestone 4, Sunday, July 13th. I want to thank you so much, Matt, for being here on the program. Give us your Twitter handle and the Facebook page real quick before we let you go.
Okay, well, thank you for having me. My Twitter handle is, it's simple, it's at Matt Yaden, Y-A-D-E-N. If you wanted to look at the school, it's at Mercury, P-W-A. And then on Twitter, you can find NRW Sports Entertainment. It's at NRW Sports ENT. If you forget that, just search NRW Sports Entertainment on YouTube, on Twitter, or on Facebook. You'll find it. The best place to go is YouTube. If you want to find all of our videos, kind of look back at our history, we've got everything up there. Just go to YouTube and type in NRW Sports Entertainment. You'll find the page, and there's plenty of content up there for you to kind of check out what we've been doing as we continue moving into the future.
Thank you so much for being here on OWW Radio. I really enjoyed the conversation, Matt, and let's do it again soon.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you. It'll be on any time.
Okay. Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Okay, I want to thank the founder of NRW Sports Entertainment, Matt Yaden, for being on the program. Now I'd like to welcome my second guest. It's a good friend of mine, Matthew Robles, a.k.a. the MK Bandit, the commissioner of UCW Zero. Matthew and I spent a lot of time together at the Cauliflower Alley Club reunion this past June out in Las Vegas. I had the pleasure of doing play-by-play commentary with him for the Casino Royale wrestling show, and that was a lot of fun. Matthew Robles, welcome to OWW Radio.
Yes, it's great to be on. Thank you very much.
First of all, how have you been, Matthew?
I've been wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I had a great time out at the Cauliflower Alley Club. It's hard to believe that the reunion was already a month ago.
I know. It seems like it was just yesterday. I mean, I'm still kind of glowing from the experience.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun every year. You and I had the privilege, really, of working the Casino Royale wrestling show. We got to do some color commentary together. It was great hanging out, and I wanted to ask you, though, when you're not at Cauliflower, what else do you do in the wrestling business?
I do a lot of everything. I am the commissioner of Ultra Championship Wrestling Zero in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm the producer and editor of their Our Weekly Television product, and I have a lot of other duties. I work all over the country as either a commentator or a character. I do a heel attorney character and perform, and you name it, I do it.
Well, tell me about your background in wrestling. Was this something that, you know, you loved it as a kid growing up? And when did you decide, Matthew, that maybe you wanted to take this from a hobby into something that you could do professionally?
It all started as a child watching AWA wrestling that would come monthly here, the old Bert Gagne product. And at the time, Hulk Hogan was in the product. And, you know, I always loved it, watched it all the way through. Had the opportunity, my shoot job is I'm a structural engineer, to be in Philadelphia in the late 90s working on a project, and actually got to see two or three of the Extreme Championship Wrestling shows there, which kind of revived my interest. Mm. And around 2007, I went to a women's extreme wrestling in Philadelphia, showed up really early, and they said, if you come in and help set up the ring, we'll let you in for free. And right then and there, I thought, I have to be involved in this, and started angling everything in my life towards becoming involved in professional wrestling.
Wow, that's an interesting story.
Yeah, it's been a great ride. I mean, and it kind of was, there really wasn't a real product here in Utah at the time, so I was literally having to go all over the country to do whatever anybody would have me do, being a ring crew, clean up afterwards. I didn't care. Just just get me involved.
You know, I can relate to that because for years, I mean, I always loved the business, but I never really got involved, you know, with the media side or at a wrestling show. And the first time I had the privilege of doing any ring announcing, I remember Matthew being so nervous. But then once I climbed into the ring for the first time, I never wanted to leave the ring. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes. I mean, it's really, you know, one of these, it's almost like a love-hate relationship from the standpoint of, you know, you work so hard, you have a lot of people yelling at you, you have a lot of people, you know, discrediting what you're trying to do, but the minute you get in that ring and the minute you see that product, it makes it all worthwhile, and all the hard work and all the heartache and all the headaches and the backaches, all are worthwhile the minute you step inside that ring.
Absolutely. you mentioned that one of the things you do is you work on the TV side and you produce a TV program. What is your background in media?
Well, I started off holding a sound dish on the sidelines for University of Utah football games and lived through the big salad bowl looking thing. And, you know, I always took the time to talk to the color commentators and the play-by-play guys and really learn what they did, such that at one point in time, they literally had the sideline reporter couldn't make it, and they handed me the mic. And so I started doing sideline reporting and things of that nature, and our station was bought up by ESPN, and so that kind of launched me to the big time, as you say, as you see. And so I started learning everything I could, just like in pro wrestling, everything I could from the background. And mm-hmm. So my background is in what I would call, I don't mean that pro wrestling is illegitimate, I merely am saying that the legitimate side of sports, the ESPN side, is where I learned it, and I try and bring that side of things to pro wrestling's product.
Now, you mentioned that you started getting involved in 2007. Explain mm-hmm. how you're able to kind of balance all of this, Matthew. I mean, we have this passion for pro wrestling, but how do you balance a real career and family and then pro wrestling?
Well, it's very, very difficult. Quite honestly, I haven't had a relationship last more than a couple of months. Not very many women understand the fact that I've got to be gone every weekend and that every night I'm going to be editing or working on storylines or something like that. And so it's literally just a matter of working my 40 and 50-hour work week in an engineering company and eating, going to the gym, and then spending the rest of my evening doing pro wrestling. It's like two full-time jobs, and it's just something that you have to do.
Well, that really it shows the passion that's needed, right?
And that's what pro wrestling is all about. It's passion, it's sacrifice, and teamwork. And if you don't have it, then you probably won't get very far.
Mm-hmm. Now, as we said in the intro, you are the commissioner of UCW Zero. That sounds like a lot of fun. Is that a fun character to play?
I love the MK character. You know, it started out as a heel character that was womanizing and turned into a face character now where I'm the commissioner. It's a lot of fun.
How do you think you have grown as a performer? I mean, one thing that I've heard from everybody who's ever been on the show is how it's a continuous learning process being in professional wrestling.
That is so true. I mean, you first start what I've learned more than anything is anybody can, you know, hip toss, hurricane rata, you know, that's just a matter of practice and time. But it's the psychology and how you make everything make sense. And so why is that move so important towards the finish? It's that chess move. It's that this move leads to this move. That ring psychology, that's where I've grown the most, is going from, well, gee, I do a power bomb here, and having one of the veterans saying, no, that doesn't make sense because of this, and this. And that's what I've learned most. That's how I've grown most, is learning the ring psychology, so that every match has a story, every card has a story, and every run has a story.
When you are playing your commissioner character, are you getting bumped around in the ring?
Yes. It's kind of become my thing. I didn't intend it to happen, but it's like the last four or five shows, someone's punched me or thrown me or kicked me or thrown me out of the ring or something.
Well, so next time we do some color commentary together, I don't have to hold back, huh?
Exactly. That's it. I mean, literally, like I said, the last show, a guy, he won the Battle Royal. I was handing him the certificate, and he kicked me and then kicked me out of the ring. A few shows ago, I got hit in the head with a chair. So it's almost like that. It's kind of like, well, if you want heat, bump MK.
Yeah, I like what you said about, you know, continuously learning. And to me, it's very interesting how learning, though, about the business today is so different than it was 30 years ago. I mean, 30 years ago, probably a lot of learning was riding 6-7 hours in the car with somebody to a show. But look at the resources people have now, YouTube, to go watch all those old matches, the internet, and shoot videos, and even events, Matt, like the Cauliflower Alley Club Reunion, where we have all these great learning seminars. Talk a little bit about the Cauliflower Alley Club and what a great learning experience that is.
Okay. First of all, every person who's involved in the business, I don't care if the only thing that you do is run the sound for the guys that are coming out of Gorilla has to go to the Cauliflower Alley Club, because you will learn so much about the business. It's I don't even know how to describe it except to say it's a magical experience. And I know that sounds hyperbolic, but I really mean that, because what you learn about the business and who you meet there, you can't replicate that any other way. And like you said, we can't get in a car 6 hours with J.J. Dillon, but he'll give you 5 minutes of his time, and you will learn more in that 5 minutes than 10 hours of online matches or anything like that. And so it's essential in your career development to go to the Cauliflower Alley Club. And from a fan's perspective, it's second to none to have access to such great people.
And it's not like it's a $5,000 ticket. I mean, it's a very affordable trip, right, Matthew? In terms of, you know, the banquet ticket's $100, the rooms at the Gold Coast are $30. I mean, if you save your money and you really put a priority on this, people can get to Las Vegas for this event.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's in Las Vegas. So, you know the airline industry sends so many flights in and out of Las Vegas. You can get flights so inexpensive, and then you can't get a cheaper room than the Gold Coast during Cauliflower Alley. Really, there is no reason why any person who is serious about progressing in this business or any fan in the business should have for not going.
Yeah. One of the things that's been kind of neat about CAC the past couple years is now this Casino Royale wrestling show that has become a part of the reunion. Matthew, that was not always the case, and this has really given performers like you and I and the wrestlers themselves an opportunity to perform in front of a very prestigious crowd. So not only do we have learning experiences like the seminars and, as you mentioned, 5 minutes with a legend, but you can get in the ring and you can show what you can do. You can't put a price on that.
You can't put a price on that. I mean, from my standpoint, how do I put a price on walking in there with my bags unbooked? And then I'm calling Rob Conway's and Satoshi Kojima's title change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you know, you've got the whole battle royal where all levels of workers can get in there and do something. Everybody has a role in professional wrestling, and it's no more true than in Cauliflower Alley, where you can legitimately work in front of the best of the best.
I've been now to four reunions, and it's kind of surprised me how quickly you form bonds and friendships with the people at these reunions as well. And we talk about the learning and the wrestling, but through it all, the friendships make this such a worthwhile experience.
That is so true. I mean, I was told a long time ago that pro wrestling is a family.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to Cauliflower Alley, you do meet friends for life. Like, I've admired you for a long time in your work, and for us to work together, to me, was a dream come true. And I would have never had the opportunity to work with you living on an opposite side of the country than you then at Cauliflower Alley.
Well, thank you, and I really enjoyed that as well. You are one of the best color commentators I've ever heard, Matthew. Really, really good. One of the best I've worked with, no question. Share some of your secrets, though, about being a good color commentator.
Well, I appreciate that, and you're too kind, but it's all in the preparation. And what you really have to do is, I like to, if I can, I talk to the workers after they've gone through their walkthrough and ask them, is there anything that you want me to say about you? Is there anything that you want me to say about a move you're making or something like that? And slowly, by talking to them, you will find out the story of the match. That right there gives you bullet points from, on how you tell the story. Because really what you're doing is you're aiding them in telling their story, why that was so important. Or especially like Cauliflower Alley, where there is no storyline, you have to go back to the history and find out why someone wants to watch this match. And so it's in the preparation. And then you just talk to it, you talk to that story, to the audience, and then the other thing you need to do is realize that you've got a partner in the booth with you, and you need to allow them to help you, and you help them tell that overall story.
That's great advice, and reinforces the fact that everybody from the people that set up the ring to the ring announcer to the color commentary to the referee to the wrestlers themselves all play a part in this, right, in presenting a product that does tell a story. Everybody is critical.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, that's why I always learned, I was brought up that you thank everybody after the show. And that means everybody. The guy that shows up and sets up the ring, because it is a team effort. Pro wrestling at the indie level, we don't have roadies. We don't have you have to have those people. The one guy that brings the computer and all he does is run sound, you may think in your mind, boy, what a mark, because he's acting different or something, but he is essential to that show, because without his computer and his sound, you're walking out to nothing and your product stinks. And you are right. Everything is essential. Every person is essential, and that is including the fans.
Before this interview, Matthew, I asked you for some talking points, something that you'd like to talk about, and you mentioned that point, that independent wrestling is a team effort, that there is, quote-unquote, no place for egos. Do you think that's one of the biggest challenges facing independent promotions, are the egos of the performers themselves?
I would say so, because, you know, we've all, those of us who've been around, the local hero that has the attitude that he doesn't have to help set up the ring, or he doesn't have to do this, and if someone approaches him, he's very unapproachable. You can't do that at our level. Unless your name's Mick Foley, Tommy Dreamer, Raven, or one of those guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You better be picking up that timber, and you better be helping. And if someone asks you a stupid question, just remember that no question is stupid, and there's a reason why they're asking that question, and that reason is to help you get over. We're all there to help the whole promotion get over. And there are no place for egos, because it's bad for business.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the other points that you had sent to me before the interview was that it's important to be brought up the right way, that, you know, being a good hand is important even if you're not a worker. What did you mean by that?
You can train and train and train, and you can have a trainer tell you, here's the way to lock up, here's the right way to throw strikes, here's the right way to do a hip toss. You can even learn all the in-ring psychology stuff. If you weren't brought up the right way, if you weren't brought up to respect the business, respect how to protect the business, and respect what came before you, then you're not going to be help to anybody. And that, like I said, that includes the guy who's setting up the ring has to respect the business, has to do the best job that he can, and respect, hey, I can't get in there and wrestle. This is my role, and I'm proud of it, so I'm going to do the best job I can. And it's about also recognizing that family, that we're there to do one thing. It's not to put the MK Bandit or Matt Robles over. It's not to put the top guy over. It is to put over professional wrestling so that in years to come, the business will be there so that other people can make a living at it.
Mm-hmm. One of the topics that you wrote back to me, very, very fascinating. You said, quote, unquote, kayfabe is not dead. It's evolving, unquote. Explain that to me. That's very interesting.
Well, if you really look at the roots of what kayfabe is, kayfabe, the reason it was around, it was to, quote, unquote, protect the business. Why do we want to protect the business? Well, because we want future generations to have a place to work, to have an mm-hmm. opportunity to follow their dreams and make a living at professional wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at that day, like we talked earlier in the broadcast, 30 years ago, that was when John Stoss, last year, pro wrestling is fake, you punch him in the face. That was kayfabe then, right? Kayfabe now has evolved with social media, with YouTube, with everything like that, to protecting the business in a different way. And that way of protecting the business is to work as hard as you can to divert from the detractors that say pro wrestling is fake or things of that nature, and show them that the product itself can stand alone. And that means you work harder at your craft, harder to surprise the marks out there, and you work harder to draw in that casual fan to our wonderful product. And that's how kayfabe is evolving. Because I'll tell you something, if kayfabe wasn't evolving, we wouldn't be on this radio show together. Mm-hmm. WWE wouldn't be on Monday night, and there would be no independent wrestling because then the business would have died.
Well, that's an interesting perspective. And you are also a talented writer, Matthew. In fact, we published an article that you wrote on the Cauliflower Alley Club website and also OWW. The title of the article was, Wrestling is More Popular Than Ever. Why do you feel that way?
Well, just about everybody you know, you mention a top guy's name. It used to be in the 80s. Think of it this way. In the 80s, when you mentioned Hulk Hogan, everybody knew who Hulk Hogan was. But if you mentioned somebody like Bruno Sammartino, especially in the West or something, you had to be kind of a hardcore guy to really understand who he was and what he was. You might know the name. But think of how many casual people out there know who The Rock is, who Stone Cold Steve Austin is, who John Cena is. And that's because the business is so popular. The business is no longer... It has evolved to, I would say, almost mainstream, especially with the advent of the WWE Network that is changing the availability of professional wrestling to, you can go back and look at any video you want from the past, and that is making it even more and more popular to just the casual fan.
Well, I've got a theory that everybody's got a wrestling story. I mean, even if you're not, even if you haven't watched in 30 years, you've never been a fan, you know, everyone either watched it with their grandmother or, you know, bumped into Hulk Hogan on the street or went to WrestleMania or whatever.
Yep.
It's really funny. Test the theory out there. Talk to some, and I guarantee everyone has a story.
Oh, and it is so true because, you know being an engineer, you're pretty, in a pretty straight-laced, you know, shoot business. And a lot of times when people walk in my office and they see all my action figures and they see the show posters and they go, what is all this? And I say, oh, well, yada, yada about professional wrestling. The next thing out of their mouth is, you know, I remember, boom, comes the wrestling story. Every time.
Exactly. Well, I want to get your thoughts on some of the topics in today's wrestling. Some of the mainstream issues that are going on right now. For example, Matthew, Daniel Bryan, you know, he's been out of WWE now for a while because of his neck injury. Do you think his momentum is gone, this yes movement? Has he lost a lot of momentum here?
I think he's lost a lot of momentum because professional wrestling fans have short memories. However, we all know that professional wrestling fans also are very nostalgic and I really believe that even though he may have lost momentum immediately, when he comes back full force, the whole yes movement is going to be back, and it's going to be back even stronger, in my opinion, than ever before, because other people who kind of were fringe on the whole thing and didn't quite understand the storyline before are going to grasp onto it because they want to be part of it.
Well, because of his injury and time away, they had to place the belt on someone else. John Cena, now the champion again. Was it a good idea for John Cena to be awarded the championship?
You know, it's far beyond for me to question decisions made by, you know, guys that are making a living in this business. I think it was the safe decision because he's trustworthy. You go back to the old territory days. I mean, how long did Lawler have the championship in his territory? What about the Von Erichs in their territory? Why? Because they could trust them. They were safe. It was the safe move. I'm not going to say it was the correct move for the fans, but it was the safe move.
Good perspective. You mentioned earlier that the WWE Network has really changed, of course, the way wrestling content is provided. Do you think the WWE Network long-term is going to work?
I really think it is, because I really believe in how progressive everything in this world is going towards online content. And I really believe that 10 or 15 years from now, that terrestrial TV, terrestrial radio is going to be a thing of the past. We're going to look at that stuff like the telegraph, and our TVs are basically just going to be locking onto the internet, and we're going to be hitting television stations like Netflix and this stuff. So I really believe long-term, the WWE Network, I really believe is going to change the way we look at sports in general. And, I mean, you look now, even watch ESPN, that product. People watch, did you know more people watch the online watch ESPN than people watch ESPN, the cable shows.
Wow.
That says a lot. And so the WWE Network is just one step away from that. And so I just don't see how it can't survive, quite honestly.
I get it. If no other reason than the pay-per-views only cost me $10 now, basically.
Well, right. I mean, how can you give that up? And I mean, I just really believe that's where it's going. And the reason why I think that more than anything too is you're seeing other Fox Sports thinking about doing things like that. And so when you see those guys starting to follow professional wrestling, you know they've got something.
Mm-hmm. CM Punk continues to make a lot of news, and you know hasn't been in the ring for a long, long time. The whole way this went down, did you feel his behavior was acceptable, basically just walking away from WWE?
I think it was, you know, I really think it was not acceptable. I think you have to do what's right for the company, and you have to put your company over. And I've always been a believer that when you enter a company, you go out on your back, and when you leave a company, you go out on your back and put someone over. And I really believe that if he wanted to do that, he should have put someone over and then exited. And he didn't do that, and I think that was very selfish.
Yeah, and I made the point in a column of mine that for those of us that bought travel packages to go to WrestleMania and were headed down there, we want to see the best stars in the world. And he, at the time, had a contract, and I think he had an obligation to be there in New Orleans and perform for those of us who spent our hard-earned money to see him. But that's just my personal soapbox. Do you personally care if Sting ever signs with WWE?
You know, quite honestly, I cared 2 years ago, but they've teased it so much now. I've kind of lost my enthusiasm for seeing Sting in the WWE. It's almost going to be anticlimactic now because it's been teased so much, and maybe that's a product of the online media or whatever. But I personally love Sting. I when he was in TNA, I would watch. I was very loved the fact that he did such a good job. At this point in time, it's been teased and teased and teased so much. When he finally comes in, it's going to be kind of anticlimactic.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you there. TNA seems to be really struggling in the ratings. Their live gate is not good. Do you think TNA will recover and prosper in the future?
I'm going to say that I loved TNA's product, but I kind of honestly felt they lost their way a little bit. And I honestly believe that they will recover. In my opinion, they need to realize that people want an alternative. Some people like Pepsi, some people like Coke. When you stop trying to mimic your competitors and just do what you do best, you will gain attention. And I think they got away from that. And when they finally realize that providing an alternative product is what they do best and go back to doing that is when they'll recover. And I believe that they're going to realize that because there's a lot of smart people in TNA who've mm-hmm. been in the business a long time. And I do see them recovering, but not anytime soon.
In your opinion, who are some of the best workers on the independent scene right now?
The independent scene? Boy, there's so many. I'm going to have to say, just because he's my hometown boy, Martin Casals, former Tough Enough competitor. He worked his way back from a broken ankle, and he's now competing, even though the doctor said he wouldn't ever be able to do that. The next gentleman is the NWA North American champion, Byron Wilcott, is mm-hmm. amazing. He literally, if you want to follow anybody's Facebook page, Byron Wilcott, what he does for this business is amazing. Children's hospitals. He's on news stations. He's at homeless shelters. He's hardest working. And then of course you've got the standard guys, like you've got Jack Stane, Raymond Rowe. Those to me are like, they work every weekend somewhere for very little money and great, great guys.
Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about UCW Zero as a product?
UCW Zero is the oldest wrestling company in the state of Utah. We just celebrated our 14th anniversary, and we've been pretty much steady. We're the only wrestling company in Utah that actually has a home arena, and we're the only one that has a television contract. And so we legitimately have a training school. We've got a lot of homegrown guys, and we also bring in the best. Snook has performed here. We brought in Raven. We brought in La Rosa Negra several times. And so it's a typical indie. It's a typical indie, I would say top-end indie company, in that we have our homegrown guys, we have our bigger stars that may have been trained elsewhere but live in Utah now, and we put on a show every other week, all year long, and a television show every week, and then once it's aired on local TV, we put it out on YouTube.
Exactly where can people find UCW Zero and yourself on social media?
Social media. All you got to do is Facebook, / the MK Bandit, Google the MK Bandit. I'm all over the place. UCW Zero UCW Zero is just like you think. It actually stands for Ultra Championship Wrestling Zero. And so our website is www.ucwzero.com. And take a look. We've got our whole roster there. We have our entire schedule for the year there. Tickets are available online, and check us out on YouTube, UCW Zero. We've got all of our television episodes from 1 to 68 there for you to view.
68, very good. It's been so nice having you on OWW Radio today, Matthew. It was great catching up with you in Las Vegas, and let's do this again real soon.
Anytime, sir. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You got it. I'll talk to you later, and you take care of yourself.
You too. Thank you very much, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Don't forget to check out the OWW website at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can email us at radio@OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Until next time, I am David. Thanks again to Matt Yaden and Matthew Robles for being guests on today's program. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. All right, well that's a-